All right, welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 68. I am Jeff, joined by Chris.
Yo.
We have a feature review that we're going to do together here of Deadpool. We have a couple new movies that are in sort of in theaters or just came out in theaters, and then we're going to have some second looks at movies that came out last year that one of us had reviewed but not the other. But we're going to start off with the big new movie that we both went and saw in the theater this week. Chris, tell us about Deadpool.
Deadpool is a superhero movie.
Yes.
It stars Ryan Reynolds as the title character, Deadpool. It's a weird movie, like in terms of what you expect from superhero movies. Like, it is R-rated. It's probably a pretty hard R, I would say.
It's, yeah.
Yeah. This is not a kid superhero movie. Some of the humor is very immature, but it is not for, it is not for the Avengers crowd. That's
Yeah,
not like it's for adults.
the humor could be considered juvenile, but it's very R-rated. Like,
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
F-bombs left and right. Yeah. Anyways, go ahead.
So Deadpool is trying to think of what is Wade Wilson, I think that's his name.
Yes.
He is played by Ryan Reynolds. He's a mercenary of sorts before he becomes Deadpool. He kind of like screw he like fucks up bad people that are worse than him. Like, he does bad things to bad people, and he ends up falling in love with this chick, and he gets cancer. And he's going to die, and he kind of opts into this treatment, this
Experimental
yeah,
one.
experimental treatment. The guy tells him, like, "Hey, I'll make you a superhero."
Yeah, it'll cure all your cancer on top.
Yeah, so
So.
he goes through this treatment. There's some like other stuff in there where the main bad guy is kind of revealed, and it makes him deformed, and but he does get like super mutant powers where he is exceptionally agile, he heals really fast, limbs grow back, but yeah, he's like super ugly. And that's really it. Like, it's this the most of the movie is him chasing down this guy who kind of screwed him over, and he wants his face back. He wants to be normal again. And then it turns into like a rescue mission where he's going at like the bad guy gets his girlfriend. But along the way, it just kind of like subverts what you expect of a superhero movie for the most part.
Yeah,
Fun.
very. Yeah, I had a really fun time at it. It seemed like the audience really loved it. Like, they even applauded at the end of the movie, which I didn't even get that at Star Wars. Which is like, I was like, wow, it's really raunchy, fun time. I would say that even if you're kind of getting sick of these superhero movies, this is worth going to see, I'd say.
Yeah,
I mean, did you play it, Chris?
it's very traditional in like its story structure, but it's just the absurdity of everything. Like, it's a very simple story, but it's also the way they tell it that makes it kind of work.
I think it has an interesting structure because
It's not just straight. It's not like narratively 1.2. Actually, like, I would say about 60 or 70% of the movie is spent in this during this one fight scene. Like, where they're stopping, having a flashback, giving you context, but most of it just takes place in this action scene that's taking place on like a bridge.
Yeah, I really appreciated the way it was structured because it is. Instead of doing an origin story, which, dear God, if everyone's sick of superhero movies, I'm also sick of those. But instead of just doing it like a straight origin story, we start in the middle of him getting revenge, and it
Yes.
starts in an action scene, and then it flashes back throughout the movie to give us bits and pieces of the origin, which I felt like that was a good way to shoehorn or to basically do an origin story, but to make it not feel like you're just going through the motions of that origin story. Like, there's stuff happening in between that's in the present that's already within the conflict. And you're right. It's either like most of the present day stuff takes place on this one bridge, like, you know, during an action sequence, or near the end, there's another action sequence.
Yeah, there's like two really big set pieces that are pretty well done. I thought the bridge stuff was fantastic.
I love he has like a certain number of bullets. He's like counting his
Yeah.
bullets and using them in creative ways because he's got more bad guys than he has
Yeah,
bullets.
because he left his ammo bag at home, which is it's a kind of a repeat gag because he shows up to the final fight and he's forgotten all of his guns.
But yeah, it, I you know, to me it comes off more like a like an R-rated action comedy type thing. Like more it's more R-rated comedy than anything. It's very funny, lots of one-liners, just very like dirty jokes. And it does like there's parts where it really earns the hard R. Like there's a part where he's like boning, like he meets this girl and they're having sex,
Yeah,
like
they
sex montage.
basically have sex for an entire year.
Yeah, there's like a sex montage. Just that's what they're
Yeah.
showing their whole relationship go by, and one of the scenes is you see like him. She's using a strap on him, and I don't know how you explain that to your 8-year-old. I certainly wouldn't want
No, that was what was really weird about it is like I guess some people just did not pay attention to what this was and just like, oh, it's a superhero. There's X-Men in it.
I do think that kids know who Deadpool is, and you know they like superhero movies, so they're like probably begging their parents to go see it. I did not see any kids at mine. Like mine, it was all people in their 20s and 30s, basically.
Yeah, my screening was more kids than adults, and
It's
it
crazy.
was awkward.
Like, and I say this as, you know, my parents let me basically watch whatever I wanted to growing up, and I don't know, you know, if that's good or bad, but I just wouldn't, if I had a kid, I wouldn't want to have to explain to them
Right,
that
like
stuff that's
it
going
was
on here.
more that, and also like I was sit like where I was sitting, there was a probably an 8 to 10 year old kid in front of me. She had two of them with her, and they were sitting on either side. But the one was just like giggling throughout the movie, and like loud, like and at some of the like, there are times where in the movie where he is using foul language, but it's not necessarily for comedic effect. It's more for dramatic effect. But this kid was like so. It's like, oh my
So
God,
tickled.
they're cursing. So he's just like laughing at everything. And it's like,
Oh, that'd
dude,
be distracting.
shut up.
Yeah.
And like the mom could get the context. I was assuming because I'm watching her and she's like kind of smacking him like, hey, be quiet. And the weirder one though was so like at the end of the movie, there's a scene at the very end. After the credits, kind of like leading you to Deadpool 2. So we're sitting around, like a bunch of people are still sitting in the theater, and I just happened to like glance around, and there was a guy who probably had like two 12-year-old girls with him. Like he took his daughters or his daughter and her friend like to the movie. And I'm like just sitting there going, wow, this must have been a very awkward experience for the three of them. It's like, how do you like, what do you sit there and say, like, so, did you like that scene where he was getting drilled by his girlfriend? Did you like that strip club scene that really didn't really have a place? Like, there's some stuff that just kind of falls flat. And like, I enjoyed the majority of it, but there are aspects of it that. This doesn't really need to be here. It doesn't hurt the film, but it's like unnecessary.
I just kind of like, I don't know if, I don't think that's the only thing that makes it feel fresh, but I did enjoy, like, if they went into a strip club in any other superhero movie, the girls would be wearing clothes. Like, they would have, you know, they'd
Oh,
basically be in
yeah.
bikinis or whatever, you know? And so here, just to have them go into a strip club and they're naked and stuff, I was like, I don't know. It felt kind of fresh a little bit to me,
Yeah,
like,
I mean, like if you're going to go into a strip club, they should be naked. It's like it
yeah.
just to me, it's like, why did you need to go into the strip club? Like,
Well, because they can.
yeah, I
I think,
guess,
you know,
yeah. It's like
you're
some
gonna
of it
do.
was just we can do this. So, I thought the opening credits were fantastic.
Oh my God, I was not like laughing, but I was just smiling ear to ear at the opening credits.
Yeah, they're really, really funny.
I guess we could kind of, I mean, it's not super spoilery, but like instead of saying like directed by Tim Miller, it says directed by an overpaid tool, you know, and they
Right.
do that for like all the
And like
credits. It's great.
instead of like a like starring Marina Bakarin, like it's a hot chick, like or the girl that played a Warhead, like a moody teenager.
I mean, that set the vibe really quick where I was like, okay, this is going to be a fun time
Yeah.
probably. And it was. I thought it was a fun time. I don't normally enjoy when anything breaks the fourth wall. I find it like weird, but it's just that's I don't know. It was funny here. Like the stuff that he would say to you. Like the fact that he constantly referenced that this is a movie. You know, like the little like things like we'll be like, oh, I guess the studio couldn't afford any more X-Men because you do
Right.
get a couple X-Men in this, but they're the only two you ever
Yeah,
see.
it's like there's actually one part where like Deadpool shows up at Xavier's mansion, out there in Westchester where the X-Men live, and he knocks on the door and Warhead answers, like I know that's not her full name or whatever, but Warhead answers the door and he wants Colossus, so he wants to go, to the final battle or whatever here. So he's trying to get Colossus. It's like, where's everybody else? You are the only two that are ever here. So it is kind of like absurd that, the X-Men are notorious for having like tons and tons of characters involved, and they only got these two. One who is fully CGI.
Has he been in any other movies, Colossus? I don't feel like
Yeah,
he's.
he is. Colossus showed up in. Was it X2?
Okay.
And he might have been in he might have been in X3 as well, but
The ones I remember are the two recent ones, which I thought were really good. I really liked the last two X-Men movies. I didn't remember him in them.
yeah,
I
I
think
mean
that's fine though.
he's not a major player in any of them, so yeah, he's in 3 as well. And supposedly Days of Future Past. I don't know. I just did a search, and he
I
showed up
don't
in those
remember.
three. Yeah, I don't remember.
All I really remember though is that what's the guy that runs really fast?
Quicksilver.
Yeah, oh my God, and it looks like he's gonna be in more of the new one, which is awesome.
Great. Yeah, that scene is probably the best scene
So
in that
fun.
movie.
Such a fun scene. I don't know though. This movie I found it to be it's fun. It's probably like maybe a little longer than 90 minutes.
Yeah, I think it's like 104 minutes long. I think that's what
Okay,
it
so it's a
says.
little long. It didn't feel long.
No.
Like I said, it felt like, yes, it's a superhero origin story, but it didn't feel like that. And to me, it felt more like an R-rated comedy that's kind of like poking fun at superhero movies, which is like, I guess that's one way to get away with doing another superhero movie to make me like be entertained is make fun of
I mean,
superhero
yeah,
movies, make it R-rated.
this one ripped on everything. Like, there's a running gag actually with, knowing, Ryan Reynolds played Wade Wilson before in the Wolverine movie, the first Wolverine, X-Men Origins, where they made Deadpool mute. Like, they actually sewed his mouth shut, and there's a couple running gags in the movie referring to that movie. Like, how did like Ryan Reynolds, Deadpool makes the joke of like how did this tool get its own show? It's like, I'll tell you, it rhymes with like Skullverine or something like that. Like, and then there's he's playing with these toys on his table, and like the one toy is like, that's my favorite, and it's like it's a his character from X-Men Wolverine. And then at the very end he has like the mask underneath his mask, and it's a picture of a Hugh Jackman. So that's, yeah, they poke fun at that, and it's made by the same studio, so it's actually really funny.
Well, I think that they gave Ryan Reynolds, I think he was really passionate about this, and I think this is like a first-time director. I think they like let them do what they wanted to with it. And You know, it was, I guess, kind of a risky move for the studio to do this, and it's paid off. The
I
movie.
mean, they didn't spend a lot of money on it, so.
Yeah, but I just to take a Marvel property and do, you
Yeah.
know, an R-rated movie, like it was the biggest R-rated movie ever. It's opening weekend anyways.
Yeah.
Just pretty impressive, and I don't know.
It is funny though, because like people are like, "Oh, it's the first time, like first R-rated Marvel movie." I mean, Blade was R-rated.
Yeah, I guess
Like
there has been, you know,
people
it's
forget like some of that, like just because it's been a long time, and like we have very much gotten into a rut with these movies.
even look at though just like it seems like studios generally don't like R ratings. Like look how many like horror movies come out with PG-13 and this and that. But even back in the day, like I'm trying to think back, like as far as I can, like Terminator 2, like that was a huge success and that was R rated. Like so I don't know what the hesitance is. Maybe they don't. All right, maybe they're thinking is something like, okay, Avengers, which makes a ton of money. If you make that R-rated, one, it might not fit the material. Two,
Right. Like that's more it. Like right to your material. But also I think if you look at Terminator 2 to like you look at that movie today and you go through the script and edit out some of the language, that's a PG-13 movie.
I don't know, dude. He's like impaling people with that.
But
Like,
look at some of the stuff you can get away with in the PG-13 movies today,
yeah, I
like
guess. I mean, it just, I, but I think this, like what I was trying to say though. I think what the studio's thinking is look at how much money Avengers made. It probably would have made less if it was R, you know, or you know, I think so. The general thing is like try to avoid R if you're
Well,
going for a
sure. I mean,
blockbuster.
you hit a wider audience if you can open it
Yeah.
up to everybody going.
But if you're gonna make Deadpool and they, you know, do it
Right.
right, they did it right. Like
Yeah.
Deadpool is an R rated. It should have been an R rated movie, and it was.
Like,
And
it's funny. I was. Deadpool, definitely. I mean, and The Punisher. Like, don't make a PG-13 Punisher movie. Like,
have they done that? Where they are?
I don't. I think that they were R, but.
They were not very good.
Yeah, the last Punisher movie, which was Warzone, I did not see that one. It was rated R. And I believe the other two were also rated R.
Yeah.
But, like, that's a character that, like, you can't do that as a PG-13 movie. But I did see some people going, oh, like, Suicide Squad should have been an R. Like, the comic books are not. The comic books that is based off of aren't mature material.
It does feel like they're going for that vibe a little
They're
bit,
going
though.
for a darker vibe,
Yeah.
certainly. Like, but they've been going for that darker vibe since, The Dark Knight. Like, that seems to be DC's film slant too.
Yeah, and I don't know that I needed Dark Knight to be R. I think Dark Knight's a great movie, and I don't know if it would have helped if it was more violent or anything.
No.
Like, I think it works for what it was. But so yeah, I don't know. It's a tough call, but if you're gonna do something like Deadpool, you have to give it let it be like a hard R rating, and they did, and
And it
luckily it's
worked.
very successful. Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you haven't seen it, I'm guessing a lot of people that will listen to this have probably seen it, but if you haven't seen it yet, like I said, even if you're sick of superhero movies, I think it's a good time at the movies. It's worth going to see. I'm giving it a 4 out of 5.
That's where I'm at with it too.
Yeah.
Also, if you're like looking for more like mature Marvel stuff, it takes place within like, if you like the Marvel stuff, but you want to like watch stuff that actually takes place within that universe, like watch Jessica Jones,
Yeah.
and I've heard Daredevil's really good.
I think I liked Daredevil even a little more, but Jessica Jones for sure like could have got an R rating if it was a
Right,
movie. Like the sex scenes in it alone are
yeah,
kind of.
they're a little graphic.
Yeah.
But yeah, like that stuff does exist. It is out there. It's just not as prevalent as like maybe what we expect. Mostly because a lot of things are kiddified. So,
Yeah.
you saw another movie though in theaters.
Yeah, well, it's a funny thing is that to be saying this now because it's probably in no theaters anymore.
Really? Like, 'cause you just saw it last week, right?
Yeah, but I saw a bootleg copy
Okay,
of it.
so you did
So,
not It's actually still playing. I'd have to go into the city to see it, but
Okay.
it's still playing
So
there.
some people out there might be able to see it in theaters still. It is going to come out in DVD in, I think, April. So, but anyways, I saw, speaking of R-rated, Anomalisa, which is an R-rated animated film that's up for Best Picture. It is written and directed by Charlie Kaufman, with co-directed by Duke Johnson. Charlie Kaufman is kind of a hero of mine. I really, really, really like his writing. I've kind of mentioned this before, but like Being John Malkovich, Adaptation, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, etc. Like his movies are kind of like works of genius. Like I think especially Eternal Sunshine. And this is a classic case of not hyping yourself up too much for something because I was kind of like not disappointed, but I think I went in expecting it to be another like it blows your mind and it's incredibly like just in, like a lot of intelligence behind it and like just I don't know. It's good, okay? But it's a very basic story, like way more basic than anything he's ever done before. There's no, you're not going to be possessing John Malkovich's mind. You know, there's no going back into your memories as they erase or anything, like any of these crazy plots that he's come up with. What we have here is a very simple story about a guy, like a middle-aged guy, probably in his 50s, who's like, he's a, he does like seminars on customer service, and he's out on the road and he's, you know, doing one of these things, and he meets two girls who are actually going to a seminar on customer service, and he has some drinks with them, and he ends up having a one-night stand with one of them. That's the whole story. That's all there is to it. You know, it's like this. He's kind of at like maybe even, I don't know if it's a midlife crisis point or he's just depressed. He has existential dread about life and what does this all mean? And, you know, just not a happy dude. And he meets this girl and they're having fun and they're having drinks and they end up having a one-night stand. And he thinks that, you know, as they're having the one-night stand and after it, he's like, I'm gonna leave my wife. I'm in love with you. Etc., etc. But even quickly thereafter in the morning as they're having breakfast, you can already see start the cracks and his fantasy starting, you know, it's starting to fall apart and he's realizing, no, I have an actual life to go back to. And this is,
This was something like just it
yeah.
just happened.
It felt real for a moment, but this is, it was just a distraction. And that's kind of just what it's about. Like, there's not much more to it than that. It's a very short film. It's maybe 90 minutes. Yeah, it's exactly 90 minutes. There's not a whole lot that happens after the one night stand, except him coming to the realization that, you know, life is still, you know, you still have to go back to your real life, and this was just an anomaly, to play with the title a little bit here. So yeah, that's it. And it's good. I think that the animation I found extremely fascinating because it's
It's all stop
stop motion.
motion, right?
Yeah, yeah. And so it's painstaking. Like it takes like a day of work for them to do just a couple seconds on this.
Right,
It's,
because like each, I mean, I don't know how much about animation that you know, but each movement, like each frame of the film is like a little bit, just a little bit of movement
yeah.
for the character.
They
So like when,
will move the puppet just a
yeah,
little bit
and
and
then
then
they're
take another picture.
basically taking a picture, and
Yeah.
then they'll do it like a little bit more and take another picture, and like till you get like I believe it's probably for film, it's probably like 24 frames per second,
Yeah.
which is nuts. Like,
Yeah, think about it. I mean, think of it for 1 second. You're taking 24 pictures. How many, you know,
yeah, and
like,
like
just
I
think of the
mean,
amount of time that this is going to take.
I did this when I went to school. I went for animation, and it was like just doing like hand-drawn animation is a bitch. Like just imagine, like, and with that you can very clearly see, like I could put like the cell over and say, all right, I need it to do this, and like make my adjustments there. with this, like you're dealing with three-dimensional models, and
Yeah.
like you're just and fuck moves it too far. Gotta
It's
redo that.
very impressive what they did here with that. And on top of it, like, to get the expressiveness on the face of these characters, they had like all these pieces that they could swap in and out. Like you could tell when you're watching a movie, you could kind of see the line where it is on the face where they could pop out the eyes and put in another set of like another, like, so that was really cool. And it's also really cool when, because it is well written and the characters are well drawn, that after a while, you do kind of forget at points here and there that you're watching an animated film, because this is a very adult story. It's for people our age or older, about adult things, and these are real characters, and you start to forget here and there. But then sometimes you just are taken aback, like, wow, I can't, like, believe the animation in this is incredible. But like I said, the story is a very simple story, and I don't entirely feel like it builds to any sort of real revelation or understanding about life. It's just that it's just kind of a downer where you're like, yeah, you could have these moments that are really fun or, like escaping from your reality, but at the end of the day, it is what it is or whatever. Like, so I mean, and that's, I think that's true to life. I think that, a lot of people have one night stands. They're not going to be leaving their wife for the person they have. And even though that moment may have felt very real, and there are a lot of times in life where you meet someone for a day or two, not even in an affair type way, where you feel like you know them really well and there's like a real connection there, and you're like, I'm never going to see this person again. So, and the movie kind of touches on those like kind of adult themes like that, and it's well done. But like I said, it just didn't, like, it wasn't mind blowing.
So how creepy was the puppet sex?
It honestly, because I had heard so much about it was not as shocking as I thought it would be.
It's like I assume it's not like, well, I mean, it's not, obviously the movie is a drama. It's not played for laughs, but
Yeah.
and you already kind of were expecting it, so it's not doesn't have like the same effect as the crazy puppet sex in Team America might have had years
No,
ago.
it's not. Yeah, it's just,
Also
it
not
really,
awkward like that either.
I think when it comes to that point in the movie, you're kind of invested in the characters and watching them as real people, so it comes off as a well-written adult sex scene. Like,
Not like
it's
some
just,
weird, creepy.
it could be a little jarring at points because you get to see like full nudity for both the character. Like, you see him naked, like, and you see his dick hanging out. It's like, it's weird. Like,
Weird
you kind of want to
puppet
giggle
dick.
because it's a puppet, but at the same time, you're also looking at them as real characters. And the sex scene is not very explicit. He basically goes down on her, and then they have normal missionary sex. Like, that's, there's
That's
nothing.
good that like they didn't try and do
There's no
anything
crazy
funky.
blowjob scene with a puppet head bobbing up and down or anything. Like, no, it's not.
Well,
And the way they lead into the sex feels very natural and kind of almost kind of creepy. The way he's kind of like, you want to come to my room for a drink? And he's like kind of trying to get a drunk, and he keeps telling her how beautiful she is. And it's beautiful and creepy and awkward. And, that shit happens, I guess. But
yeah. Oh, that's cool.
I'm giving it a 3. I thought about going for 4, but I'm telling you, this is not gonna hit for everybody. I appreciated it. I liked it, but I did not like it as much as I expected to. I expected to really love it. So I'm going with a 3. It's a rental. Don't drive 60 miles, or if it's playing in one
But
theater,
you
just be like,
were actually thinking about doing that.
that was the situation I was in. I live over an hour away from Chicago, and if I wanted to, I could have drove to Chicago to see it. And I think I would have been a little disappointed because it's not, you could wait. Just wait for it to come out on DVD, watch it, and you might even enjoy it more that way. So,
Huh.
yeah.
All right, I'll give it a go when it finally
Yeah.
does come out that way.
I'll be interested to hear what you think about it.
I'm interested more from the fact that like, being a fan of animation and
Oh, from that aspect, like, it's very
yeah,
impressive.
that
Especially, like, that it was, like, a passion project for them that they did just through Kickstarter and stuff. Like, it's cool. Like,
Yeah, I'm
I like.
definitely interested in at least seeing that and I'd actually like to get the DVD and like sit through some of
See.
the special features and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. I don't know if I'll pick it up. I'll at least rent it when it
Yeah,
comes out
like
and see
rent. I
that
probably
stuff.
won't buy it, but definitely like to go through and see some of that stuff. So that's
So
cool.
those are two that we've seen that were, are in theaters. Anomalisa's hanging on by a thread. It's still in some theaters.
Yeah, probably be on. It's, are the Oscars this weekend?
I don't know.
I think they're, well, they're probably coming up, so it'll
Yeah, they're
probably
close.
go out after that, but that's cool.
But we also saw a bunch of movies that either you had seen or I had seen, but we had not both seen. Some of the bigger
Yes.
movies of the last year, some of them were on our top 10 lists. So I think we just dig into them here. I didn't have an order I wanted to do this in, but I'm kind of most interested in what you thought of Dope.
Yeah, so Dope. Jeff's talked about it before. He really
Yeah.
loved it. It takes place in like South Central LA. It's like
Inglewood.
Inglewood.
I
Yes,
think
Inglewood.
specifically
Yes,
say it,
specifically
so
say
yeah.
Inglewood. And it follows like the this sh very short period of time of these three geeks, like that are like kind of like.
Self-proclaimed.
Yeah, self-proclaimed geeks, but I mean they are basically they're
Yeah.
big nerds. They're like big into like 90s era hip hop. Very smart, very probably a little too smart for their own good at times. But they end up getting involved in some shit and they kind of spin it. I really enjoyed it. I enjoy like 90s era hip hop. I enjoy,
It's all things that I
yeah,
liked. That's what I
it's all
loved
that
about
sort
it.
of like everything that these kids were like into. Like I'm like, yeah, like
Like
I'm
that's
down
my
with all
favorite.
of this.
That's what I like love. I'm like, that's my favorite era of hip hop. And like the kids will say in the movie, that was the best era of hip
Yeah,
hop.
like
It's
they like, and it's funny too because at one point, he's talking to the drug dealer whose name is avoiding me, Dom,
Yeah.
the drug dealer Dom. He's talking to him. He's like, "Why are you dressed like that, man?" And he's telling him like how he's like, from here. And the guy's like, "That album came out in 1988." And Malcolm, the main character, is like trying to explain. He's like, "What's this like era? Like it's the 90s era." It's like, yeah. And the Blueprint came out in like 2001. He's like, "Yeah, but it's like, it started here and it
Yeah.
ended here." It's like,
Yeah.
yeah, like that's kind of how I feel about it though. Like that's. There's some stuff that came after, like, after Jay-Z's The Blueprint, but I'm not like as big into hip hop as I was, and like that's the type of like hip hop I like to listen to is
Yeah.
that era, like Dr. Dre and like all that stuff in there. And they play video games, they like comic books, they talk about like super nerdy things. It's really cool. And then it they get involved in this thing and what kind of came to me afterwards is it's kind of risky business. Like,
It is a series of misadventures that like reminds you of those teenage 80s movies that like they just like all these crazy things would be happening to these kids who are in way over their head, you
right.
know?
Like, I mean, like, it's not a one-to-one, but there's definitely like these crazy events happen. They have to set up basically like an illegal shop to do things. So like there
Yeah.
were a lot of ties, and I love Risky Business, so like this all tied
Yeah, I
together
can see that
perfectly.
angle. Yeah.
Like I mean the ending certainly not the same. The risks involved, like, if Tom Cruise did not do what he did, he just would have gotten yelled at by his parents when they got home. If these kids did not do what they had to do, like they probably would have ended up dead. Like there's like a huge difference in the scale of everything, but there were definitely like ties there. I'm like, yeah, this is fun. Like it's just this fun movie. Yeah, I really really liked it. I know you said you were like really big on like the ending and like
Oh my
the
God, I love
speech
the ending.
stuff. I to me like some of that felt a little out of place. Like it felt a little too preachy.
I love
I
the
like the
ending.
sentiment of it, but if that whole thing with Harvard, like, and I understand where that piece came in, like it is an ongoing thing, but the overall preachiness of it came off a little bit like All right, we're trying to tie in here. Like,
I felt it was earned. I really enjoyed, and
I wasn't sure if it was or not. Like, I didn't come out going like, yeah, like that.
they build towards it. Like, they talk about it in the beginning where he says, "You want to go to Harvard? You got to be serious about this." Like, or you basically said, "You're not going to Harvard." And at the end, he's like, "Why not? Why not me?" Like, you know.
Right, like I might as well do what this dude wants. Like,
I
I really would have liked to
I
have
do
been
love
able to
two of them.
read that expose that he wrote on
Yeah.
Ice Cube, though. It would have been
Yeah, it'd be
fantastic.
great. But I do. What the hell was I gonna say about it? I do. The thing. One thing I really love about the ending, and that plays into that part, is the way that he's so smart that he figured out a way to fuck over the system and game the system that is working against him. Like, he's like, "I'm smarter than this, and I'm gonna go there no matter what." And I really love the final shot where, like, you don't see whether he gets into Harvard or not. You just get to see him open his letter from them, and he just looks at the camera, and then it goes to the end credits. I was like, and you know he got in because he fucking, you just see him start to, like, basically smile, like almost like he wanted to cry. I was just like, that is fucking great. I don't know. I've like on a second viewing, I think I loved it even more. Like, I think I'm gonna pick this up someday. It's just a fun, lively movie.
It's really well done, all the way around, so.
And kind of criminally overlooked. Like, it still hasn't caught its audience yet, but now that it's on Netflix, I'm hoping that, like, all of my preaching on here and on Facebook and on Twitter, like, some people will finally start to check it out. Like, I don't get why it's not getting the attention it deserves. But
Yeah,
yeah.
because I mean, I actually feel that I probably am gonna like this more than Straight Out of Compton, which is like a bigger production. It's a
Yeah.
like, and Straight Out of Compton is everything. Like, I mean, it's that era of hip
It's the
hop
true
that, like,
story of that
yeah.
era. Yeah.
Well, I mean,
This.
as true as
Yeah.
that you're gonna
Oh, yeah.
get coming from those guys. Like, there are definitely omissions, but yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see the two of them compared next to each other. But
Yeah.
what I also liked about Dope is it's under 2 hours long. It doesn't overstay its welcome at all. Like I thought it was very well paced. There's some things that like maybe don't hit properly, but for the most part I thought it really worked.
I love the humor in it. I love that, like, just this crazy wacky things that hang out. Like, they go to this house and there's a hot girl there, and they're like, "Okay, let's hang out here for a while." And they're like hanging out with this guy in this, like, mansion. Like, "All right, let's play some music." Like, I don't know. It's just like,
So goofy.
and I saw someone making fun of the fact that, like, they hated the fact that they're in a punk band in it, and they hated the music they made. I love the music that they made in the movie. Like, I want that on my fucking phone so I can listen to it at work. Like.
Yeah, I don't quite like. I mean, I don't know why you would hate that they're in a punk band. It kind of fits for what they are, like.
Yeah, and I like the music, the one song that they do. I forgot how it goes, but I thought it was, like, a really fun song. The thing just it's just fun all around. It's fun.
Yeah, it's a fun,
It's
fun movie.
this movie's candy. Enjoy it, you know. So I'm glad you enjoyed it. What was your score for it?
I'm gonna go a 4 for probably after that first viewing. Maybe like after watching it again, maybe I'll turn a little bit on like the overall ending. But yeah, I think I'm at 4 with it for right now.
All right.
It's definitely worth like go. You should watch it. People should watch it.
Yeah, people need to see that movie.
Especially if you have any interest in like some of the things we just talked about, give it a go. Like
Yeah. If you're listening to this show, you're probably gonna like.
the one scene where the chick like she throws up on him and then it's like, I'll
Oh,
drive you.
God.
And
She's driving, or she.
she gets out of the car and goes and takes a piss and like the one guy's like, I was just trying to eat my. It's like talking about like he was like eating his. He wanted to say like scone, but he's like black people don't eat scones. Like, it's like so you like eating his muffin or something. And it becomes like a meme. It was so funny. Like that whole scene is hysterical.
It's really creative and stylish energy to the movie too. Like, when they start selling drugs and stuff, like the way that, like, they edit together that montage and stuff, it felt very kind of original. You know what I'm talking about, where they're, like,
Yeah.
showing, like, the memes. There's, like, memes starting in YouTube videos and
Oh
stuff. And,
yeah,
like,
it's like So they called their version of Molly Lily,
Yeah.
because after the chick who,
Yeah, and there'll be memes like people on Lily be like this, you know.
it's really fun.
I'm telling you, it grew on me a second time, so I think I'm actually gonna be picking this one up soon. So,
Cool.
what else? I saw The Martian finally
Okay.
after the whole world has seen it, so I'm not gonna go into it deep. I enjoyed it, and I think what I enjoyed most about it is how it was so willing and so. It's basically a survival movie with a very unique setting and a very unique like central conflict to the survival because he's stranded in on a different planet.
You don't get much more unique than another fucking
Yeah.
planet.
Yeah. But I really like how it leaned into the whole science aspect of it. It's like, here's the situation. How am I gonna get out of it? And just focusing on that. Is very willing to go into like the nuts and bolts of how he's gonna survive longer. And then at the other end of it, you have the people on Earth who realize that there's this guy that's stranded alive on Mars, who are like from their side too. They're working logistics on their side. You know what I mean? So there's like his story of him trying to lie, like you know the science of how he's gonna stay alive and the science of how they're gonna reach him.
Right.
And I thought it was very fun. It was a well done movie. Like I wasn't blown away by it or anything, but it was certainly entertaining, especially for how kind of nerdy the movie is. So I'm giving it a 4, and yeah, I'm probably the last one to see it, but if you haven't seen it, it's a solid rental for sure.
Also recommend reading the book. I just,
Yeah. I heard it's like a it was like self-published or something like that too, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think he started off Andy Weir. I think he self-published it originally. I think it might have got picked up by an actual publisher eventually, but the book is so good. Like, it goes into more detail on some of that stuff and like the sarcasm of the main character, Mark Watney, comes across way more. Like, there's some more biting humor. It's
Oh, he was very funny in the movie, but it is kind of funny to me that it was up for like comedy because it was a survival movie. Like it wasn't heavy. It wasn't heavy drama. It wasn't heavy comedy. It wasn't heavy anything. It was just very much like this is a cool situation. Like you know, and how do we you know, how does he get out of here?
There are scenes in the book that are just completely cut out of the movie because, I mean, the movie's long. Like, it's a
Yeah,
2.5 hour movie.
it's over. Yeah.
But there are scenes that are awesome in the book that they just cut out because of time constraint. Like, they're just like a lot of fun. Like, there's I mean, having seen the movie, you see that like he leaves the Hab to go on that trek. Well, that trek is like a 3 month trek,
Yeah.
and like they don't touch on any of it. And there's a bunch of stuff that happens on that trip that like they don't really get into because they can't. Like, I mean, it would have been another 40 minute movie, but.
It's pretty amazing too how he has to leave his hab, but he doesn't. But he doesn't know. There's no way for him to know that, so he has to take that like huge, huge, huge risk to go out and get where they're gonna like, land on their next mission. Like I really like that our part of it too.
Do they touch on the cannibal stuff on the ship back at
No,
all? No.
I don't remember any. I don't remember.
So yeah, you know why? 'Cause it's all tied up very briefly, like that whole thing where so his crew is going back to Earth, and they're gonna slingshot around the Earth and go back to Mars to
Yeah.
get Watney. Like, and they talk a little bit about, like, you know, we're all in. Like, everyone has to be agree that we're all going to go back and get them. So there's like all that, but there's all this other dialogue that happens,
Like, what if we run out of food or
So
something?
the younger girl, on the ship, and Kate, played by Kate Mara, Beth. She's the youngest crew member, and basically she's talking to her parents over like some sort of communication, like as they're really close to Earth, and her dad is like, well, like, what happens like if you guys miss, like, and you aren't able to get your food? And it's like, don't worry, Dad, I'm coming home. And like they don't really touch it, and then like after everything's done, like her boyfriend in the movie is like, he's on the ship too. He asks, so which one of us were you going to eat first? Like, it's like, oh shit, it's so dark. They, yeah.
Also kind of funny.
Yeah, it is. It works for what it is. It's just this like really kind of like dark, but it's a black comedy and it works. Yeah, it's
Okay.
fun.
All right. Well, we have. I'm calling a quick break right here because I have to. But
Okay.
when we finish up, we're gonna wrap up with a couple more movies we're taking a second look at.
Yep.
You also saw, finally, as a horror movie fan, Way Far Out.
Yeah.
And
Finally.
I don't know if I should allow you to talk about it because you didn't seem happy. How about you, Chris?
Yeah. I finally saw the Babadook. I don't know. I did not come away loving that film like some people did.
You seem to not be enjoying it throughout, like, because you were posting a little bit on Facebook here and there. You didn't like the kid.
Yeah, so I mean, Jeff's talked about it, but it's a story of like a mother and her son being terrorized by this entity.
A little top hat guy.
Yeah, who's very like creepily presented.
I could see another Babadook. No, don't give me more. But still, I liked it like as a one-off like horror character. I liked
Yeah,
it.
I mean it's an interesting design too. And I actually like the way that it comes about through the
Like they
kid's book and
finding
all and
the book or whatever.
yeah. But yeah, the kid I hated him. I get why like you know he might be that way and but I just I he just grated on my nerves.
He had like behavior. I saw it when it came out, right? But he had like behavioral issues and stuff, right? Like he'd always
Yes.
like kind of ruin. Like, don't they go to like a party and he kind of ruins it, and the mom gets really fucking pissed off at him.
I mean, he doesn't like. I mean, even with the party piece,
He never fits in. His mom's always kind
yes,
of tending to him.
he doesn't fit in. He's babied a lot. The party thing, he was just kind of like hiding up in the treehouse, and his cousin comes up and says some nasty shit
Doesn't
to
he
him.
hurt
He
her?
pushes her out of the treehouse, and she
Oh,
falls
God. Yeah.
and like busts her nose or something. Which I mean, I thought that was well deserved.
Yeah.
Like I mean, amongst kids, like, hey, you don't go up to somebody whose dad died and tell them like that their
Kids
dad
do
dies.
that.
Yeah,
Kids do do that, though. They're
kids are
very
mean.
sensitive.
Like, but also, like, I mean, that's also the response you would get from a kid who. Like you go and tell them that like their dad died because you're a bad child. Like,
I'm
yeah, they're gonna push you back.
thinking more though, you probably didn't like the way he like reacted like on the way home when she's trying to talk
Yeah,
to him
she's just
about
like
being
he's
sensitive.
throwing fits. Like to me, like that
Yeah.
just drives me nuts. Like as a parent, like I hate like
Yeah.
if a child does that. If it's your child, like you hate it a ton, and like you try and do anything you can to stop it, which led me to like dislike. Her a lot as well, because it's like she seemed to have gotten to a point where she just didn't care anymore. And
Well, she was fucked up too, I
yes,
think.
yeah,
I think they
they
both
both
were.
were like, and there's a reason for it, and some of it is I can't relate to what they were going through. Like, I mean, it's not something I have any experience with,
Yeah.
and I could definitely see like. My wife might re react to it more. I'm sure that you can with you
Yeah.
know your
I you know I'm
situation.
yeah, and
Like
yeah,
for
but
me, I don't understand that, and it's also not in my personality to like allow stuff like that. Like I wouldn't ever allow my kids to act that way, and I don't know how I would act if something like that happened. But yeah, like I just didn't like either of them, so I didn't care about the bad things that were gonna happen.
wow.
But it does hit a point. where some bad shit freaking happens, and
Yeah,
it's grisly.
I felt that no matter how you feel about their characters or the pacing or anything leading up to it, I felt like the last half hour was kind of like harrowing, like just and really kind of intense and disturbing. Like there were parts. I thought you said that this part didn't work or something, like when they're in the basement together, like and they're going at each other, where I was like, dude, I when the shit hits the fan in that movie, I found it incredibly disturbing. Like I and I didn't know what
No,
to think.
I actually like that. So there's a part
Okay.
where she goes bad. Like she's actively acting out what the book has said she's gonna do. She's gonna try and she's trying to kill. She kills the dog.
Yeah,
She's
she
trying to kill
goes,
him.
yeah.
And she realizes, no, shit, bad. No, I'm bad. Like this is not right. And he stabs her. And then she chases him down like the steps, and she, like he has set up like traps and shit. It's fucking
Yeah.
nuts and grisly, but then like he is able to get the monster out of her, and then I guess it's up in their bedroom. I think it might be her bedroom, where she's just yelling into the darkness. It's screaming, and it's like this is goofy.
Well, it does become like, how do you kill something that's supernatural or might not even be real at all?
Right. Well, and I mean, it's all like an allegory for dealing with depression and.
Yeah, and then the
Which I
Greek.
think the, as far as that goes, I think it works. Like,
I still have to wonder, like, I still kind of wrestle with the very ending where I guess, like, they've kind of
they've locked their
kept.
grief in the basement.
Yeah, they've locked the Babadook, their grief, in the basement, and they have to feed it worms every once in a while.
Yeah,
Like, I'm
they
like,
go.
what is the feeding of the worms? What is that metaphor? Like, sometimes you have to revisit that grief, or like
I
that.
don't know about the worms. I like the worms thing. I wasn't. I didn't have like anything that tied to that. But definitely, like you can't just leave it. Like I think that was what she was trying to do for all those years. I think was it
It's just
7 years? Was ignore it, right? Like
leave it in the basement, but
yeah,
not eat
and
it
like
or.
because that's like, hey, don't go in the basement. Like she
Yeah.
gets very angry at him when he goes down and like is playing with the magic stuff. And like I think yeah, that's exactly what it was like. Like she's trying to ignore it and like act like it never happened and really
So that
like
if you recognize it once in a while, you could keep it at bay. Like
yeah
it
like if you
turn into the.
it's okay to be sad.
Yeah,
Like
like, but
it's okay
that's.
to, but don't let it ruin your life. Like don't let it overtake it.
Once in a while, feed it some worms, and it won't turn in. It won't get loose, right? Like,
It won't
I
be.
mean, that's kind of what I was
Yeah.
reading into it too. But
Yeah.
it's definitely like, kind of a thinker, like for like a horror movie at the end where you have to
Oh
like,
yeah,
oh,
for
shit.
sure. Like it
But
definitely has more, like way more thought to it than like your average slasher film, which I appreciated. It's just like I, not being in on, you know, Amelia or Samuel as characters, like they
could be
are
a deal breaker, yeah.
they're the two main characters. If you can't get behind them, it's really hard to get behind the whole thing.
Like I remember last week though when we were talking about Goodnight Mommy. Like to me, this is kind of in the same well, kind of in the same ballpark, and it's like to me, this is like just it's a
This
lot
is,
better.
yes, I would fully agree with that. Like,
Yeah.
this is, I mean, and Goodnight Mommy is weird and fucked up. It definitely is similar themes.
I found this scarier. Like I thought when they started going at each other, the mother and kid in this in Babadook, I was like really like The Shining creeped out. Like, oh my God. And Goodnight Mommy, I was just kind of disgusted. Like,
Well, yeah, because in this, both are fucking crazy. Like both the kid and the mom are, they're not bad people, but they both are dealing with their grief in different ways and acting out in different ways. In Goodnight Mommy, it was the there was no well, one, you don't really ever get an understanding of what their grief is. Like they
Yeah, because
never
you don't,
really
they
touch
kind of
on it. It's just
withhold essential
yeah,
information from you.
like for most of that movie,
Yeah.
and but it like you never have a chance for the mom to defend herself. In the end, it just like becomes this torture endeavor.
Yeah, and here in this, the mom is the danger. Like, they're
Yeah.
both the danger. Like,
Right.
they're both dangerous to each other. And
Yeah.
like that, I don't know. I thought I thought it was pretty special for a horror movie. I know you couldn't get behind like some of the characters in it and stuff, but I don't know.
I think it's worth watching. I mean, depending upon, you know, your reaction to it, how you can take them, like I think you'll get more mileage than maybe I do out of it. It's in terms of highly acclaimed horror films, because Goodnight Mommy was also pretty up there. Like, a lot of people were talking about that. This is a better movie.
Yeah.
So give this a go over that.
And it is one that, like, I remember I watched it with my girlfriend. She's like, okay, that actually is probably gonna give me nightmares. Like, she was like scared after it. I remember I said something on Twitter right away when I first saw it, and Movie Guru, he like was like, ah, you're full of shit. And then he came back and he said, like, no, that was actually kind of scary. Like, it actually is kind of scary. So that's where I have to give it its due, because like, horror movies don't really affect me that much that often, and that one kind of did.
There you go. All right. Yeah.
What'd you?
I'm gonna go with three.
Okay.
I think it's a good movie. It just didn't work across the board for me, so.
I am actually surprised by that. I thought you would like it more, but then again, I was also really iffy on whether you'd like Dope, and it seemed like you really enjoyed Dope. So
That was good,
I'm
yeah.
one for two this week. I'll take
It's
it.
all right.
Lastly, is there? There's one. There's
Yeah,
one.
I saw one more movie. I won't go too into detail on it. I saw Maze Runner: The Scorched Trials, which is the sequel to The Maze Runner. The Maze Runner was a pretty cool, like,
I saw the end of that movie once on HBO or something.
it's
I don't
a it's an
think it was
interesting
me.
movie.
Yeah.
Like, it's
Yeah. The
it's
end.
it's nothing special, all of it. Like, I think the entire thing, very well, like, kind of world building.
It felt like The Hunger Games or something to me, like the same time, like they're
Oh,
like
a
using
little bit.
like
There's
game.
Yeah, like, they've put all these kids in a maze and are trying to see who can survive, and it's like a social experiment. This is not that. Like, it's really weird. So at the end of The Maze Runner, you find out that, like, they've all been kind of set up in this game, and they're being taken to this, this new facility. It turns out that new facility is also sort of some shadowy organization. The people that rescued them maybe did not rescue them. And also, the rest of the world is infested with these weird zombie-like creatures. So this is not like where the first one was, like, a weird kind of, like, Hunger Games-ish,
Running Man type thing or
yeah,
something.
like, where it was kind of like this, you're trying to figure out a way to get out of the maze, and it was interesting in that side. This is like a weird, apocalyptic zombie type movie, and it's not quite as good. There's some
No
cool.
maze running? Is there maze running?
No, there's no mazes at
The
all. Like,
fuck?
I think that they call it The Maze Runner. Like, the movie is called Maze Runner: The Scorched Trials because they wanted to tie it. Like, it is a continuation, but it has nothing.
Yeah.
Like, the book series actually goes The Maze Runner: The Scorched Trials.
Oh, okay.
Like,
Okay.
it's not Maze Runner: The Scorched Trials. It's just, I think
I
they
gotcha.
didn't. The studios, you know how they are. They don't know how to tie anything together.
I think we're too dumb to figure it
Yeah.
out.
So this, it takes the people that survive there, puts them in, like, a zombie type environment. There's the guy who plays Littlefinger in Game of Thrones. Can't think of the guy's name, but he's in this. He's, like, the main bad guy. And I don't know. It's like a we're running across to try and get somewhere. Oh shit! One of the people with us is actually a traitor. Boo. So, I don't know. I watched it with my daughter. She like we enjoyed the first one together. This one was not quite as good. Gonna go, like, 2 stars on this one. So.
I could safely skip it.
Yep. Yeah, I would do that.
Chris, next week,
Yeah.
I know for sure I'm gonna see one of the worst reviewed films of last year. Adam
Are you?
Sandler, Pixels.
Yeah, I guess I will too.
And
I will find a way to watch it.
I just want to say, going in, like, yeah, I know it's probably very bad, but I'm going in with an open mind to see what I think. If I come back here and say next week that I enjoyed it, I'd be surprised, but I'm not saying that it can't. I'm not going in
It
with
could. I mean, hey, go in and try and enjoy it. That's how I'm gonna do it. Like,
I do I'm it's kind of scared of liking it, because I feel like I lose a little bit of credibility on this,
right?
because it's a universally kind of hated film. So I kind of, I like I I'm going in honestly with the curiosity of seeing a bad movie, but there's a part of me that's going, give it a chance. I always, any movie, no matter what I've heard about it, I go, I'm gonna give it a chance. Ah, so.
I won't lie. Like, I mean, I have not seen this movie, but I did see the trailer like about 1,000 times. And that one part where the Pac-Man guy gets out, and he's like talking to Pac-Man, and he's like, "Oh, my son," and then Pac-Man bites his arm off.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Yeah, it
It's
is.
like that might be the only thing that I find funny in the entire movie, but
But the only thing
that scene's funny.
is that even like the actual
I don't think it's
Pac-Man?
the
'Cause
actual
I don't think it is.
creator.
Like that's kind of the
It's
thing
just a
where
stereotypical, like they
it's
got
kind
like
of
a Japanese
insulting.
dude, yeah.
It's kind of insulting not to just Japanese people, but to us who are fans of video games. Like what if it was the Mario creator and it was just some random Asian guy and you're like, "No, dude, where's Miyamoto?" Like the thing is I don't know who made Pac-Man, but I'm saying
Right.
If they did the same thing to Mario, I would have been like, this is bullshit. So I don't know. I have a big feeling that all that stuff is in there just to try to get you and me to watch it. And that's not really the movie we're gonna see.
No,
I don't think
I
it's
am.
gonna have a good grip on video games or anything at
No,
all.
I'm
So
not expecting it to be anything good. It's probably gonna be like every other Adam Sandler movie ever, so.
yeah.
We're gonna try and enjoy it though. Also, think we're both gonna try and see Straight Outta Compton.
Oh yeah, for sure. I'm gonna see both of those movies.
And I'm gonna try and see The Witch.
For me, that's like I really want to, and if I do, it'll be on Sunday. So like I'll have to make a little trip, but I might. So we might actually have three movies that we have all seen and reviewed, one of which will be new. So yeah, I think that's really all on my radar for next week. If I get lucky with Netflix delivery, etc., I might see I Smile Back.
All right. Well,
So there you go.
that's what we'll see next week.
Yeah, so another good episode coming. And then we're gonna get a little crazy, maybe.
Yeah, that
Teaser.
could get nuts.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be back next week then.
Movie
Movie
dudes.
dudes. Do 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 do.